Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Baltimore Sports Talk with your hosts Rob McQuay and Jeff Coles, also featuring Philly Jeff Dye. Now, get your game on.
All right, it is a beautiful day in the neighborhood, and yeah. Here we are on Baltimore Sports Talk here on blogtalkradio.com, the MQFL Network. I'm Rob McQuay, your host. Jeff Coles is my co-host. And Jeff, yesterday, first of all, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Yes, belated. From both of us, all of us.
And, you know, the Baltimore Orioles gave the hometown mothers a great day and a fun day to remember. So we got to talk about Orioles, particularly yesterday's game.
Awesome.
And then we're going to probably talk a little bit about the Ravens as well.
Yeah.
We're waiting on a guest at the moment. It looked like we had him for a second, and then he dropped off. Well, he comes back now. We're going to talk about all that good stuff, Orioles, Ravens. But first of all, we have a special guest today. And this is a guy that I recall stumbling upon in the early to mid-90s when I was taking my daughter to dance classes in Ellicott City. And, I'd drop her off, Jeff, and then I'd sit in the parking lot and I was listening to, sports talk radio, and there was this guy that was just made me laugh, and I couldn't believe some of the things he was saying, but I agreed with him most of the time, It was really fun. And I found out the guy's name was Nasty, and then that kind of made sense, given some of the comments that he had to make. But I'm going to bring in Nestor Aparicio. Nestor's a sports writer, a radio personality, and owner of WNST. Nestor Aparicio, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, I don't know how I'm going to, move backward off of that, but thank you for listening. thank you for laughing part of the way. I mean, yeah. I guess in the early part, the entertainment was, a bigger part of what I do than what I do now, which is just I'm old and tired. I just actually try to talk about issues sensibly at this point. So, In a world of nonsense, I am now the peacekeeper and the guy in the middle, man. I mean, I'm even bringing the Ravens and the Steelers together next week for a charitable cause.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Life takes twists and turns. What can I say?
Absolutely. Well, Nestor, let me just say that you're actually my youngest brother's age. So, if you're old, then Jeff and I are well, not ancient yet, but, we're...
Well, I got to wear reading glasses now, which officially pushes me, to the other level of looking like an old guy when I'm surfing on my phone.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It's good to be an old guy. I mean, with the old guy, you get the gray hair, and that's just all the wisdom growing in.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's right. What was
and
the
teeth? And that's the teeth
that
falling
listening.
Out, too.
Oh, the teeth, yeah, right. Nestor, what was the station that I was listening to you on back in those days? Because is it the same station?
If you want to go back historically, you're going to have to give me the time frame you're referencing, because I know where I was and when. I just don't know when you were there.
Yeah, this would have been, I'm going to say this was maybe mid-90s. 95?
Well, mid-90s should have been a couple of plays. 95? In 95, I was probably a 1360 Legends radio at that point, broadcasting from the Sheraton in Towson, a guy named Michael Hodes, who, quite frankly, I don't have a whole lot of use for, owned the place, and I rented time, an afternoon drive, on a big band radio station, which Wayne Gruen and Ken Jackson and fantastic Freddie Robinson and Alan Field did the morning show there, and a guy named Will Taylor did the overnights there. But I was – doing afternoon sports radio. Now, you know, keep in mind, in that era, there were no Ravens, right? So, I mean, it was a very, very Orioles-centric baseball. Camden Yards had just opened. Angelos had just bought the team and was just in the first throes of trying to wreck it. I mean, if you're talking about 95, you're talking Cal Ripken's streak. You know, the Orioles hadn't even made the playoffs at that point. Davey Johnson wasn't even in yet at that point. So, yeah, that's where I was in 95, and then the Ravens really changed my life when they brought the team here.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's talk some sports, Nestor. First of all, that game yesterday, what a great game. Everything coming together now, it seems like, for the Orioles. Obviously, we know about the lineup. And we know about the defense, and obviously, as we talked about, the pitching, starting pitching has been the big question mark. But now the starters are starting to get into the seventh inning. Yeah, Tillman struggled in that first inning, although, you know, a lot of that in the first inning was, you know, gimme hits. And, you know, he hit the batter and then a little bloop and this, that, and the other, and it translates to three runs. But then he settles down. What's your take on the starting pitching and Gallardo? Is he coming back? What do you see going on there?
Well, I don't know anything about Gallardo, and you know, at this point he's not here, right? So you know, as they say on the football team, I can only coach the guys that are here. He's not starting this week. I've written him out of the equation. I mean, if he comes back, to me, he's going to be there after the All-Star break. You know, the deal that they make to bring in that veteran guy, if he's right. In the meantime, these guys have to hold their water. You know, part of it is who's going to pitch on Wednesday. They have no bullpen of starting pitchers in Norfolk or Bowie who are legitimate candidates that you would feel good about bringing them up and say, well, this guy's on the come. He's had a couple of good outings here, you know, in the early going. I mean, the weather has been bad everywhere. It's been cold everywhere. I think that's suppressed bats to some degree, you know, throughout baseball. But in the case of Tillman, he's managed to keep the ball in the ballpark, which is a real big part of Camden Yards. I mean, on a day when they hit six home runs, when you don't give back three of them, that goes a long way toward winning and winning big. They're going to hit a lot of home runs. They're going to strike out a lot. I think over the course of the year, the pitching will be subpar. If it's better than subpar, they're probably going to win the division because I think they're going to hit the ball. Now, part of that's the timeliness of hitting the ball. And last week, the bats went silent. I mean, I'm shocked that they've been shut out a couple of times already. I do find that shocking. But on a day when the wind was blowing out on Sunday afternoon, they're going to hit a lot of home runs. They're going to hit a lot of home runs when it's really awful to be at the ballpark, when it's one of those 88-degree, you know, 65% humidity, stormy nights when the ball's flying out. They're going to feast on pitching, and they're going to take advantage of that. The good news is, look, they're not playing against the Cubs, right? They're not. They have no buzzsaws in this division, so they're going to hang around for a long time, even if the pitching is, you know, I wouldn't say it's all coming together. I think it's come together for a couple of days. Call me back in August and tell me if these guys are going to be making it to the sixth or the seventh inning consistently, because if they are, it'll be 14 all over again. And you look back at 14, the reason they were successful is every night someone responsible took the ball and went out there, and even if they struggle, got you to the fourth or fifth inning, but you could almost count on the sixth and hope for the seventh or the eighth, and that really, over the course of the year, helps the bullpen out. No doubt about that.
Right. Last year, though, at this time, starters were struggling to get into and through the fifth inning. Obviously, it's a step up.
Last year, right? I mean, let's call it what it was. I mean, they were never a factor last year because of that. And this year, it has been different. Hey, look, these guys were horrible in March, right? I mean, a couple of them were hurt. Gallardo was a guy we were absolutely counting on, and he's not even a part of this thing right now. You know, if Gausman can be that guy, then they have what they didn't have last year because they were hiding him out in the bullpen and, you know, sending him all over the place and running him around.
Then he's looked pretty good so far. Yeah, but again, you know, as you said, it's early. So,
well, such
you know,
is his pedigree. His pedigree is he's supposed to be good, right?
Right, sure. But speaking of that, how about Bundy? I mean, I don't think we see him start this year. What are your thoughts on Dylan Bundy?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of it's going to be about the doctors and the agents and his arm and his, you know, his value, and he has more years of, you know, maneuverability. The last thing they want to do is shut him down. I think they'd rather bring him in the sixth inning and let him throw some pitches and get his arm back to where it needs to be. I wouldn't say it's a shutdown situation. I mean, let's see how he feels in July. I mean, come on. The kid's held up for all of 4 weeks right now. Let's, you know,
right.
Why push the envelope on a guy like that when maybe he is your opening day starter in 18? Because mm-hmm. you coddle him a little bit now, and that's probably not a, you know, given where he was this time last year, I like where he is now better.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we're talking with Nestor Aparicio, and folks, if you're stumbling on us, Blog Talk Radio, give us a call, 323-410-0028. Love to hear what you have to say about the Orioles or anything else for that matter. Jeff Coles, you got any questions? You want to chime in?
Well, I was just going to say, first of all, thank you for being on the show, Nestor. And just to let you know, I agree. I think right now we've got about 2.5 starters up there that we can rely on. And, you know, what I want to know is, what in your opinion is the impact of having Joey Rickard and Manny Machado at the top of the lineup?
Well, I think the one thing you'd say about Duquette in the Rickard case, you got to tip your cap to him on that. I mean, if you want to urinate on the Gallardo situation and what happened with Fowler and just the offseason in general, the Pedro Alvarez in the end, you know, they wound up, you know, we call it the dumpster dive. I mean, that's what they do. They're looking for these bargains and these deals. And I also tip the cap for Trumbo. I mean, they got Trumbo to replace Davis, not as an addition to Davis. He was insurance policy. He was plan 1A. He was plan 2. He was going to be the guy to replace Davis in the lineup, and he's obviously out-hit him. So, you know, I give their offseason right now a massive thumbs up, given the guys they signed, plus the guys they found, and even in Kim, who was a guy that nobody wanted around here the third week of March, and they wanted to send it back to Korea and get rid of him, when given an opportunity, he's hit the ball. Reimold has played a very, very nice and limited role. Now the question is, where's Wieters, where's Jones, where's Davis, where are they going to be? Because they are the core of the ball club. They are the here and the now, where Machado is the future. And, hey, I tell you what, Joey Rickard has been, even flashing the glove around on Sunday, diving around in the outfield, he has been every bit the part of a big league ball player. He looks prepared. Yeah. He doesn't look overwhelmed. He looks humble. He looks like a bit piece in this thing. And he looks like a really, really nice story here for the Orioles unfolding this summer.
Yeah, absolutely. The play from Rickard, you mentioned the dive, and that was great. But that play in the first inning, when he fires to Machado, and then Machado just guns down. I forget who it was trying to score. Man, that was nice. It's nice to see the Orioles playing that kind of defense, because that's what – and, Nestor, you know, we grew up on that. We grew up on that, the Orioles defense. And it's really nice to see them continue that. And, they, you know, it seems like they just don't get enough we always whine and complain about this, but national respect on that. I don't know. You know, you've done radio here.
They stunk last year. They were in the ALCS. What kind of recognition do you want? I mean, 18 months ago, they had a chance to go to the World Series. You know, you get plenty of recognition. I mean, you know, part of the recognition is Chris Davis getting $161 million. I mean, and you know, for me, the recognition comes when you're playing baseball in October. This team was not thought of as having a particularly good offseason. I think to this point, we will still question their pitching and say, can it hold up? But I think you can ask that about even, you know, teams like Tampa that have a lot more talent. But then, you know, the Jake Odorizzi's got to go out there and take the ball and Archer and these guys and get guys out. And so far, so good on every account for the Orioles. And, look, they've weathered a couple of storms here. First off, Gallardo was their prized free agent that was going to replace Jen. He has stunk and is nowhere to be found. They spent a lot of money on Chris Davis. That hasn't worked out so far. Adam Jones was injured, and I still think is feeling some of the effects of that. And now J.J. Hardy's out of the lineup. And you know what? Given all of that turmoil, everything that's gone wrong, they're in first place. So saying all of that, so far so good, man.
No, I agree.
You know, Nestor, Nestor, I was going to say, you know, all those names you just listed, and I never really thought that through, but as soon as I heard you say that, I'm thinking if I just woke up this morning and I hadn't heard anything else about the season and I heard all those guys were hurt, I'd be thinking last place.
If you would have said to me on opening day, on Mother's Day, Gallardo won't be pitching at all. Adam Jones will be hitting 196. Chris Davis will be hitting 204. Pedro Alvarez will be hitting 180. Hardy will be hurt. Wieters will be hitting 211. If I would give you that, if that's how I began the conversation, you know, if I said Jimenez had a 4.5 ERA and, you know, Mike Wright's had to start 5 games and his ERA is 6, if I would give you those parts of the team, you would say, you know, wow, Vance Worley's had to make spot starts for this team. You know, they've had to force this kid Wilson out onto the hill as well before they kind of sort of would prefer. If I give you all that, you know, Gausman didn't start the year in the rotation, didn't start the team year on the roster, quite frankly. You would look at that and say, boy, they, you know, I guess they're 10 under, right? They're probably the Twins right now, or they're the Astros. Maybe hope they're not the Braves, but they're not. So.
No, absolutely. But you know what? That's what makes this game of baseball so great, I have to say. All right. So the Orioles, you know, let's see. They go out to Minnesota, and, you know, they swept the Twins earlier. I say let's go sweep them again because the Twins are not the team that I think people thought they were going to be this year. So so go – Go A's, Nestor. Go A's. Yeah. All right. Ravens. Oh no. You know what? Before we do that, I have one last question. Baseball for you. You mentioned earlier the Chicago Cubs. Now Jeff and I talked a lot about this when it was happening and even before. We all thought Jake Arrieta had the stuff, but he didn't have the head. It seemed like he was always in his head. He'd have a bad inning or, you know, a couple of batters, and then everything just fell apart. So it wasn't a surprise to either one of us that he was traded. And actually, I can remember we were kind of glad about that trade. In hindsight, you know, maybe
well,
not.
We were in a pennant race that he wasn't going to be participating in. But, but you know, look, I can sum him up very quickly. He left. He changed things. He views the world differently there. Certainly everything about his mechanics. He is a different pitcher. There's a different headspace. There's a different set of coaches around him and leaders around him and a different environment. And you know, he's that guy that went out to the West Coast and made something of himself and left the neighborhood. You know, it wasn't working for him with the Orioles. He doesn't have anything positive to say about his experience here, which, you know, would echo some of the things I've written over the course of time about how, you know, the environment with the Orioles can chew you up and it can spit you out. This newer environment of winning, Machado doesn't know anything from that. You know, I mean, he doesn't know the emotions that Brian Roberts went through and what Adam Jones went through early on and what Matt Wieters was drafted into and, you know, everything that's happened with the franchise, the good, the bad, the ugly, from the ALCS to, you know, the night that Mike Flanagan put a gun to his head. You know, all of that has happened here in the last 5 years. So, and to disseminate all of that and to be a part of that and what it meant to Jake Arrieta, I know this. He's out in Chicago. He has amnesia, and he's a different guy. It's kind of like comparing the first marriage to the second. You know, it's just different, and he's seeing a different result out there, and it's a tip of the cap to him because he's doing the good work there.
I agree.
I got one question about Jake Arrieta. Can we have him back?
Yeah, probably for about $28 million in about 24 months.
Right.
If now, Mr. Angelos wants to fork over $240 million for 7 years of service for Jake, I'm sure something could be arranged with his agent.
Well, now, my question, Nestor, about that is...
Oh,
I mean,
excuse
we
me.
Hear...
Pending a physical, of course. Pending a physical.
Yes, right. Absolutely. you know, we've heard all along that the Orioles... either did or tried to change his mechanics, and that's why he didn't pitch that well. And when he went to Chicago, they basically said, you know, just pitch the way you want to pitch. Is there anything to that you know of?
Yeah, I mean, I only know what I've read and what he said. I mean, okay. I had my press pass taken away, right? So you're talking about to the only media guy who can't ask questions for now a decade. I'm kind of proud of it at this point. I mean, it just kind of goes – it's one thing to stand and hold your nose and point and say, you're awful people, you're mean people, you're unfair people, you mistreat people, and then for them to say, yeah, we're going to start by mistreating you. So I think that goes a long way for transparency. But, you know, I don't get to ask the questions. I read what other people write, and I don't know Jake Arrieta. I've never spoken to Jake Arrieta. I just know the results. And the results, quite frankly – speak for themselves,
yeah,
right? I mean,
I
they had
agree.
Him, they let him go, he's now doing it over there, and that's the way the world works, right? When you
yeah.
break up with the girl and she goes and runs off and marries, Kevin Costner or George Clooney, you get to watch it on television. You know what I'm saying?
It's the great one. Nasty Nestor Aparicio is our guest.
Wow.
And that Nestor, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. All right.
Yeah. I should do stand up. I tell my wife that.
Yeah.
She doesn't think I'm funny at all, but.
All right. The Baltimore Ravens, I kind of like the draft. I want to talk about that a little bit and get your take on it. But, I was going to ask you what you know about the guys with injuries, but you can't ask questions. So,
Or the Orioles?
The Ravens.
I had a press credential everywhere in the world except where the Baltimore Orioles play.
Gotcha.
No, where they play. They also call other cities and tell them to not let me in.
Wow.
Which, by the way, is a cross-state tort, according to most lawyers. But either way, I've had press passes granted and then rescinded in Toronto, Boston, New York, and Tampa. But just in those, because the Orioles play. The Ravens, I was at a Ravens camp over the weekend. I saw Ronnie Stanley. I said hello to Kamalea Correa. I had Joe Flacco out for a charity event for There Goes My Hero 2 weeks ago and spoke at length with Joe. Joe's injury, he's doing fine, walking around great. I gave him a stay classy Philly shirt from the Flyers playoff series. Steve Smith, I ran into supermarket shopping 2 weeks ago, believe it or not. I ran into him right around the dessert aisle. I was picking up some cookies. He was talking to me about getting fat in the off season and said his foot's feeling better. Now he's working out. Suggs, I have no idea, opinion. On Suggs and Smith, we'll see. With Flacco, you get the feeling that he's going to take the ball opening weekend and be fine. I don't know about Smith and Suggs. They're in a different position with age, with weight bearing, with speed, with power, with the things that they need to do. I think Flacco's coming together really well.
Okay, well, that's good to hear because, with those – those two injuries, to me, I find it hard to believe that he'll be able to start the season. But, great. I mean, great if he can. I that's what I want. I want to hear that. What about Breshad Perriman?
He's had a very unfortunate situation with his father. I don't know if you followed that story or not. His father's been very ill. And that's, something that's certainly taken him away. But from what I understand, they're high on where he is and believe – he will be taking the field as a first-round draft pick and a contributor this year.
Well, that would be good. I haven't heard a whole lot, and that's why I asked the question.
I wouldn't say no news is bad news. It's kind of easy in the era of Twitter to see where these guys are and what they're doing and what's affecting their lives that they're willing to share. And at this point, I think the belief is Perryman's going to come back and be a real wide receiver this year.
Okay. Well, good.
Nestor, I wanted to ask you, first week of the season last year, the Ravens were neck and neck with the Broncos, who eventually won the Super Bowl. Of course, we know what happened to the Ravens after game one. They, fell apart, injuries, all kinds of problems. But when you take the guys coming back and you add in the draft choices, especially where the Ravens have shored up, Where do you think the Ravens are at this point?
Well, for me, with the offseason, really not been just about the draft for this year. It's been about getting real players. I mean, Eric Weddle is a real NFL Pro Bowl caliber safety. Mike Wallace has been a Pro Bowl caliber wide receiver that can stretch the field. Ben Watson's coming off a year where, the age sort of belies the productivity of how good he's been last year for the Saints. So they brought a couple of free agent guys in that are here and now real National Football League players and high character guys as well that have been, you know, well thought of in the places they've been. So those have been the biggest additions. I've said this to anybody that'll listen. They were not a very good football team on New Year's Day. They, you know, entering June, going into the mandatory camp, they're a much better football team based on the talent they have, based on the draft picks, based on hopefully their health, if the health projects out that they are healthy on September 1st, specifically the, you know, $25 million quarterback, that they'll be a factor next year and they'll bounce back in the same way that I think the people think the Cowboys are going to bounce back from a really bad year and a high draft pick.
Now, that's good stuff. I wonder, and we've only got about four minutes left in the show. Kind of quickly, Ronnie Staley, what's your take on him? Is were the Ravens right in taking him over Tunsil?
Well, I mean, they got a guy they're never going to have to worry about. And if you think the Ravens are right for taking John Ogden over, Lawrence Phillips back in 1996,
right.
You look at that. And I remember, you know, when I wrote Purple Rain 1, Phil Savage gave me the quote. He said he walked into Art Modell that morning and said, "Mr. Modell, if we draft John Ogden, you're going to sleep well. You're never going to get a good night of sleep if we draft Lawrence Phillips because you're going to wake up wondering what he did last night." And, you know, Lawrence Phillips is now dead. And, you know, just an unbelievable, tragic story of what his life has become over the last 20 years and what John Ogden went on to represent, you know, for his family, for his, you know, for his success and the gold jacket and all of that. So when Ozzie Newsome picks Ronnie Stanley over Laramie Tunsil, it kind of tells me all I need to know. I mean, and Ozzie has nothing at stake, right? Ozzie's going back to the Hall of Fame as a personnel guy, right? Ozzie said, "This is the guy I want in my building the next 5 years and beyond. I don't want that guy." He had the choice. He made the choice. And I don't think it was necessarily about gas mask bong videos and the PR hit of the overnight. I think it's where are we going to be a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, and they got a solid citizen in Stanley, and that's the direction they went in. We don't have to guess what Ozzie Newsome was thinking. He showed us what he thought.
Yeah, well, and you know, we were hearing leading up to that a lot of people were saying that the Ravens had Stanley on the top of their board over Tunsil anyway. So we heard that. So you're right. I don't think it was the last minute social media and all that stuff that went into the Ravens decision. So we'll see. I'm really glad. Does Monroe? What happens with him? Does he get traded? Cut?
Well, they're saying he will come back. He's not physically able to play right now. He's still not on the active roster, as they say, and. He's injured. And they're not talking about. He's tweeting about. You're speaking of bong hits and Tunsil. I mean, he's tweeting about medical marijuana regularly. Eugene Monroe is, and the legalization of medical marijuana. So he's obviously an advocate to some degree. And I find it fascinating that the Ravens ran from one guy for that reason and have one under contract at $8 million a year. Look, I would be shocked if Monroe's back playing left tackle in September. But stranger things have happened. I didn't think Bryant McKinnie would have been back after the Super Bowl, but he was.
True. All right, we know receivers, tight ends. I think the Ravens look looking good. Tight ends, obviously quarterback. We've got strong safety. We've got Webb moving from cornerback to safety. All that good stuff. What about the running back situation?
Well, they got a lot of them, and they drafted another one. So this will be a real open competition. I mean, the one thing we saw with Justin Forsett in the year that he was so successful 2 years ago was just his ability to see holes, recognize holes, and get into those holes quickly. That was his success. I've never seen a smarter runner in all the years that I've watched our running backs, other running backs, and a guy that you see every week and you saw him carry the football a couple of hundred times and watch the way he did it. There was an instinct about that and certainly a professionalism about that, he's going to come back. Let's see what he's got. Let's see what Taliaferro's got. Buck Allen, they brought in Trent Richardson, the failed top five draft pick. So they're going to have plenty of bodies there. The competition will speak for itself.
That's right. All right. Hey, good stuff. Nestor Aparicio, thanks so much for coming on the show today. You know, it's an honor to talk to you. And
I wouldn't go that far. Tell my wife that. Tell my listeners that it's an honor to talk to
you. But it is. I mean, for a guy, look, when I started listening to sports talk radio in the middle 90s, I had never listened to sports talk radio before.
Neither did I, by the way.
You invented it, I think.
I wouldn't go that far, but I still haven't heard anybody who does it the way I do it, and I'm doing it uniquely now, 24 hours a day here at WNST.net, and I do appreciate you guys making a little time and having me on the program, and I will run this as part of my programming at NST, man. I appreciate you guys having me today.
That's great, Nestor.
Well,
thanks so much. All right. Hey, folks, that's going to do it for this edition of Baltimore Sports Talk here on the blogtalkradio.com network on MQFL Live. I'm Rob McQuay for Jeff Coles, Philly Jeff, who will be with us again next week, and the great one, Nestor Aparicio. Folks, have a great week. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks for listening to Baltimore Sports Talk here on MQFL Live on the blogtalkradio.com network. Join us again next week as we explore Baltimore sports.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Company Computer Guy.
Mr. Company Computer Guy.
You are the ruler of the RAM, the guru of the gigabyte, the monster of the memory.
Show me the way.
When we screw up the boot up, you are there. Without you, computers would megabyte. The countless hours we spend surfing the internet and accidentally stumbling upon porn sites would instead be spent working.
Working for the man.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Company Computer Guy. For it's you who keeps our logons logging and our hard drives hard.
You gotta see this porn site.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.